Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 382, A Call to Prayer. Guest minister Elizabeth Frauhager delivered this message on Sunday, August 4th, 2024, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Are you all awake? What a glorious worship time. Amen. Oh, you kids have blessed me so much. What a, such an anointing on your lives. I am just can't wait to see what the Lord is going to do through you guys. Oh, wow. Beautiful, 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 beautiful. Let me set up here. I got some notes here. But how many of you know we're just going to go with the Holy Ghost? Amen. Look at the time. So bless you in the name of the Lord. Those of you that are watching on the social media, we welcome you this morning. Shalom, shalom, blessings. And to those of you that are watching through other countries, buenos dias, ¿cómo están? God bless you. Thank you for joining us this morning. We are so blessed to be here in the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Look at all these beautiful faces, all ready to hear the word of the Lord. Amen. I'm excited to bring this message to you. I am honored to bring the message, to bring the word of the Lord to you this morning. And let me set up here because I need to move things around a little bit. I need a bigger table. Just kidding. Bigger purse, bigger table. We all just make bigger everything. Amen? Okay. Hallelujah. See how I can move this around here so I could see better. Okay. So today's message, I titled it A Call to Prayer. A Call to Prayer. And it is a very urgent, it's more of a clarion call to the church, to us this morning. I looked it up with a clarion call. Many of you might want to know, what is a clarion call? And it is a strong expressed demand or request for action. We are called to action as the church, the body of Christ. So my message is titled, A Call to Prayer. So let us pray. Father God, we just thank you this morning. God, you are so good. We've been worshiping you in spirit and in truth this morning. Jesus, be glorified. And Father, I just ask that you give us ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to perceive what your spirit is saying to us this morning. Father God, we surrender this service to you, Holy Spirit. All of you and none of me, Holy Ghost, we thank you. We thank you for your presence in this church. We thank you, Father God, for you are good and you are faithful. And I just now bind any distractions in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And the church says, amen. Amen and amen. So a call to prayer. God is calling his people to prayer. We've already seen what's going on out there. I don't watch television, but you've seen it. I do have Facebook, so I get a little bit of information of what's going on out there. The world's getting darker by the minute. It really is. We've just seen the Olympic ceremony. I didn't watch it, but I know some of my friends that did. And it's wicked. It's wicked to the core. Amen. And this is the time for the church to arise. And I am here this morning blowing the trumpet, amen, for our church to rise up in the prayer department. Oh, Father, help us. We need to rise up as a church, as his people, to pray, to intercede. Oh, Elizabeth, the Lord didn't call me to be an intercessor. Well, let's just see what the scripture says, shall we? I'm going to deliver this like nice and smooth, okay? I got my coffee, so we're just going to coast right along. If you need to put your seatbelts on, you go right ahead because we're not going anywhere. Pastor Sarah said, I got until 2, so good. We're good. We're good to go. She's like, I don't know. I'm trying to make you guys laugh a little bit. Loosen up, okay? There's joy in the house of the Lord. Amen. So I'm sounding the alarm. Red alert, red alert. I work at General Motors, and we have these, what do they call them? Alarms, I guess is what they are, for safety. So we need to take shelter or evacuate the building. There's this huge bang, bang, bang. I mean, everybody's going, well, you better run. Well, here I am to blow the shofar and sound the alarm for the body of Christ that we need to rise up in prayer. So we're going to take a look at 2 Chronicles 7:14. So go there with me. It's good that you bring your Bibles or your fancy phones. I'm like Pastor Sarah, old school. I like the pages. I like to highlight and put paper clips so I don't lose my place. So go there with me. 2 Chronicles 7:14. You two on Facebook or YouTube, get your Bibles out. Just because you're in your PJs this morning doesn't mean you're excused. So get your Bibles out. I got my eye on you. Hallelujah. I see some people in their PJs. Come on. Get your Bibles out. But thank you for joining. Come on. Okay, so it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. If my people, that's what it says, if my people, it doesn't say if my intercessors. So those that pull out the intercessor, I'm not an intercessor card, debunked right now. Debunked, put it away. If my people, who are his people? The church. We are. Tell your neighbor, you are. Tell your neighbor, you are. You are. That's right. Point at him. You are his people. Amen. The church. His sons and daughters. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. That's who he's talking to his people. The remnant. This is a remnant church. Amen. Declare it. We are. Amen. We are the chosen ones. We are the chosen generation. Come on, Lord. Help us to come up higher in this area. I know I need to preach this for myself. The Lord has been convicting me for several months now about, Elizabeth, step it up a notch. Step it up and pray. And I do pray. Don't get me wrong. But the Lord is saying, you see how dark it's out there. Be like that church on the hill. Right? That the lie cannot be hidden. We need to rise up even more. You know, I don't know where I read it, but the church of, the dark world. I don't know what they call them, those churches. Satanist worshipers, all of those. Do you know that they gather together corporately at midnight till 5 o'clock in the morning? They got one up on us. Come on. We're here 2 hours and we're ready for lunch. They're there from midnight till 5 o'clock in the morning. Incantations and all the junk they do. Because it is junk. It's not the word of the Lord. So if they can do that from midnight till 5 in the morning, where are we at, church? I know I'm preaching to myself. So if this is for you, take it. Be humble and take it because I'm taking it. I need it. We must rise up as a church. Amen? Okay, so we identify we are his people. And it says, who are called by my name will humble themselves. Humility. Oh God, we need to be humble. So humble. Colossians 3:12 tells us, therefore, as God's chosen people, which we identify, that's us, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Gentleness. Humility. Help us to be gentle with one another. To humble ourselves. I always hear the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth, go low. Go low. God is always prompting me. Holy Spirit, you know, our helper, right? He's good. When pride begins to rise up, oh, I did that so well. Elizabeth, I know he tells me that. Go low. Yes, Lord. Go low. Sometimes he tells me jump, and I'm like, how high, Lord? But when it comes to humility, go low, Elizabeth. Yes, I heard what they say. You go low. You go low. This is for some of us. Go low. Oh, help us, Lord, to be humble, to have a humble spirit. Amen. James 4:10 tells us, humble yourselves before the Lord. And he will lift you up in honor. When we humble ourselves, that gives the Lord the hand to lift us up. We don't have to do that ourselves. He does it for us. But he can't lift us up when we're already up there floating up in the sky. like, you know, better than anybody, me, myself, and I up there. Amen. So let's be humble. I know I'm taking this pill because sometimes that little bit of pride trying to rise up, and it's Holy Spirit, Elizabeth, humble yourself. Yes, Lord. Humble yourself. Sometimes I already said the word, but it's like, that's okay. Take it back. Renounce it. Yes, Lord, I renounce it. Words are powerful. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and we know that. And when we speak something that was maybe prideful, you have the authority to take it. I renounce it in the name of Jesus. And repent right there. Man, I have the Holy Spirit doesn't let me get away with nothing. I went to Kroger's, or when I go to Aldi's, you know, you got to put the car back. And if you want your quarter back, you know, you really got to put it in there. But the Lord's like, nah, leave it there for somebody. Put it in the, you know, the little aisle. But don't get your quarter back. Bless somebody with the quarter. Because one day I went and I was like, woo, a quarter. I mean, I got all excited. Somebody left quarter in the cart at the Aldi's. That made my day. There's good people still out there. They can leave a quarter in there. This is for somebody that shops at Aldi's. Thank you, Lord. He's got some humor. So let's take a look at, well, I did say James 4:10, right? Humble yourselves before the Lord. Jesus is so good. He modeled everything we need to do in life in the scriptures. He modeled it all for us. So we can't say, well, Jesus didn't do it. Yeah, he did. Yes, he did. Jesus was a prime example of humility. So let's go to Philippians 2, 3 through 11. So let me find it here. Philippians 2, 3 to 11. So we're going to start with 3. And it says, let nothing be done through self-ambition or conceit, but in the lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. So this is telling him to esteem others better than yourselves. Come on. Who am I talking to here? It's like, put somebody before you. Do we do that, church? I know I'm preaching to myself. We got to let others first. It's what it says here. Let each of you look out, not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, here we go, the Son of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of bondservant and coming into the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. What an example, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Ooh, I just felt that lightning. He went to the cross. He humbled himself for you and I. What better example is that? He put us first, being the Son of God. Thank you, Jesus, for dying at the cross. Let us not forget. Let us keep it a front of what Jesus did for us every time. Every time. Because I don't see us dying for anybody. Do you see yourself dying for anybody? And nowadays, it's so here comes Aldi's. I keep getting this Aldi's images. So there was a guy, and he was dressed up. Pretty demonic, I say. I mean, just looking at the outer appearance and some discerning in the spirit. And I have a big heart because it's me and Tommy, and he's a teenager. And you know, teenagers, they eat a lot. And so I got this cart full of Aldi's, and this man's got a few items, and he's struggling to keep them up here. And he looks at me, and I say, hey, go right ahead. Go in front of me. He looks at me like I give him $1 million. He says, oh, thank you. That's so nice of you. And I'm like, where has this guy been? There's nice people everywhere, right? To give somebody, put him in, like, oh yeah, he's got a few items. Go right ahead. It was like, I give him $1 million. I'm like, wow, maybe he hasn't seen people like my father's house people, right? Gentle and kind and humble and looking at the interest of others so he wouldn't like struggle to put his groceries on the ground. So thank you, God, for keeping us humble, Lord. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. We must have our radar on when we know we're getting prideful. Don't allow the spirit of pride to come in. Kick it out the door. Shut it down. When you see yourself or feel yourself, and the Holy Spirit convicts you, just repent. I do, Lord, forgive me. That sounded kind of haughty. That sounded kind of prideful. Forgive me, Lord. Because the moment you repent and you ask for forgiveness, guess what? You're right standing with the Father again. And I'm not saying this just to justify, oh yeah, go ahead and sin, be prideful all the time. No, but that we have a right standing with God the Father when we bring it before him. Amen? So thank you, God. The next part on that scripture says, and pray. And pray and seek my face. God is calling us to pray. Prayer is powerful. It's our communion with God the Father. That's what it is. If you love Jesus like we say we do, if we love God, we're going to commune with him in the secret place. Jesus did this time and time again. He pulled away from the crowd to commune with his Father. Amen. He made it a priority. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Maybe you're asking Elizabeth, how much should I pray? It says here in 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. What does that mean, pray without ceasing? It means pray all the time. When you wake up, you pray. Throughout the day, you pray. It's a continual prayer to Abba Father. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I got the parking space. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. And as the Lord begins to drop like faces of people, that means you pray. That means you pray. I was thinking about the person. That means you pray. That's what that means. You keep getting that same person. You intercede for them. You go into in prayer. Amen? So we pray without ceasing. From the moment we wake up to the moment we lay down. We pray. God's calling us to pray. I don't know who it is. It's maybe somebody on Facebook. But you get up and say, thank you, Jesus, for this day. Amen. And you're done your day. You forget about God the whole rest of the day until you go to bed. Like, oh, I'm so tired, God. My body hurts. Heal me, Jesus. Amen. I don't know who this is for. I know it's not in this church, but maybe some of you watching. That you just call out to the Lord for a few seconds and you're done. And that's not going to cut it in today's. To what we're seeing out there, it's not going to cut it. We got to come up higher. Up higher in prayer. Amen. Praying throughout the day, communing with Abba Father. And more so in the secret place. How many of you got a secret place? Everybody lift their hands. If you don't have one, make one up because that's where you're going to be tonight. No pressure there. You got a place where you go and talk to the Father. It doesn't have to be inside your house. It could be on a walk. You can go to walk. You can commune with the Father as you're driving. Try praying in tongues when you're driving. Just don't get a speeding ticket. Pray in tongues. Amen. There's another story for another time. I'm praying in tongues. Got pulled over. As I was like, devil, get behind me. And he's like, oop, I stepped a little bit too far in the accelerator. But hey, but God provided for that speeding ticket. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My son Tommy, I'm going to tell you the story because I'm going to be humble. I'm going to air it out today. I'm going to give you the story. So I'm driving to drop my son off to his dad's. You know, it's 5:50 in the morning, and I'm driving, and I begin to pray, and you know, do an intercession, praying in the spirit, telling the devil where to go, and I'm not paying no attention to the road whatsoever. And, you know, I was speeding a little bit. I'm humble, I tell you, I was speeding. And I'm like, and my son, you know, is there. And all of a sudden, and I see. And I stop. I see the police guard. Like, wait, no. He goes, Mom, he's stopping you. Pulled over. I'm like, oh, the devil is a liar. He goes, Mom, it is you. He's stopping. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I pulled over, right? The officer didn't even say anything. I was hoping it was Tim. Maybe he like, hey, cut me some slack. I'm praying in tongues. But the officer was kind, and he just say, oh, Mama, you were speeding. And I said, yes, sir. So I was praying in tongues. I didn't know what it was. That I was trying to get out of it, but hey, I was praying in tongues, sir. He's like, you were going, how fast was it? 60 and a 45. He gave me grace because I probably, you know, I don't know what they do when you go so far over. It's like reckless driving, right, Tim? Right, Tim? I should have pulled out the Tim card. No, that's just for your wife. But so pay attention when you're praying in tongues because, you know, you get angry, righteous anger at the enemy. But pay attention to your speedometer there. So I learned a lesson, but I still pray in tongues. That does not slow me down. I pay attention to my speedometer now. So I learned my lesson, and I was humbled. But I still continue to pray in tongues, and I do it all the time. Amen? All right, now that you got a little laugh, praise God. Let's keep on moving. I think I'm going to have to, like, do some little laughs here and there for you guys to take this message in because it is a toughie one, especially if you're kind of low in the prayer department. So let's go to Matthew 6:6. It says, but when you pray, go to your room, shut the door, and pray to the Father who is present in the secret place. Your Father who sees what you are in secret will reward you. So you go in your room and you shut the door, and you pray to your Father. I don't know where your room is. I think when I first watched the movie, you guys seen the movie, what was it called? The War Room. Who's seen the movie The War Room? Yeah, everybody's cleaning out their closets, right? Everybody, if you haven't seen it, there's the woman, he goes into the prayer closet and he tries to get everything out of there. So my first, I'll give you another little laugh story. So I decided, okay, I watched this movie. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to make my closet a prayer. Okay, so I went in there and I'm like, I'm not going to put no fancy chair in there because I don't want to be comfortable. I don't want to fall asleep, right? So I put this little plastic stool in there. And so I shut the door, and I'm sitting there with the lights on, and I'm sitting there, and I was like, okay, this is good. And then all of a sudden, I was like, ooh, I have not seen that shirt in a long time. And those shoes, oh, my goodness, that goes good with that. Distractions. It was so distracting. I'm like, okay, I did really bad, Lord, so maybe next time. So here's me thinking, okay, what can I do so I'm not distracted in my closet? Because I was like, I'm definitely going in there again. So the next night, I went in there, my little plastic stool. I'm sitting there, like, lights off, because I'm not going to be putting outfits together, right? And so lights off, and I'm sitting there, and I was like, oh, well, I need a little bit of light. So I took a little candle, a little vanilla scented candle in there, and I'm sitting there, and I got my tallit on, you know, and I'm just listening to the little praying. And then I hear my son says, Mom? And I was like, yeah. You know, I always shut my door. He was like, where are you, Mom? This was many years ago. He was probably like 8 or 9. I'm in my room. So he comes in my room. He's like, where are you, Mom? And he's like, I'm in the closet. He's probably a teenage, you know, 8 years old. I'm going, what's she doing in the closet? So he opens the door. And there I am, picture this, you guys, with my tallit and my Bible on my lap and my little candle. And he's going, Mom! Like he was, you look ridiculous, Mom! And I was like, thank you, son. Shut the door, please. He laughed and giggled and shut the door. And so I don't know where your secret place is. Now, I moved up. Now, my whole room is the secret place because I'm, you know, I got a mat, and then my knee started hurting from laying there forever. And then Sister Gina says, you know what? I got a doggy bed for you. So she brought the doggy bed. Because I kept telling him my knees were hurting from like being on my knees. So she gave me this doggy bed. And so I was like, oh, moved it up, laying in the doggy bed in prayer. And then I said, and then it got longer. Prayer got longer. And maybe I was there a couple hours. And I'm like, I think I'm moving up. I need the whole bed. The whole bed now. So see, we're moving up. So thank you, Lord. See, I knew you guys would laugh. It's good. It's good to laugh. Amen. And show you and give you my dirty laundry so that you don't do that. That's good. Good tips on there, right? Amen. So Philippians 4:6-7, it tells us, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understandings, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Many of us are so anxious. I see it all over. Anxiety, worried about what's going on. Why are we so anxious and so worried the moment something doesn't go our way? What are we to do? Pray. We are to bring it to the Father. That's what it says. Be anxious for nothing. Sometimes, instead of going to the throne, we go to the phone and we tell all our friends what just happened. And some of these friends are not even praying for you. So you just wasted your time, air, and breath. And now you've given a foothold to the enemy because you are complaining to your friend. Call your prayer partner. Yes, after you brought it to the Lord, call your prayer partner. How many of you got prayer partners? If you don't, you're going to have to get one, right? You're in a cell group. If you're married, hey, your husband or wife could be your prayer partner. Brothers and sisters, get somebody that knows how to pray. Amen. Amen. We have cell groups here at my Father's house. Good units that could help you in prayer. We have, I think Pastor Sarah and all, I think all of us cell group leaders have a text thread which say, hey, pray for me. You don't have to say what it is if you don't want to. You want to be private, be private. But just say, pray for me. Why are you going throughout the day anxious, angry, worried, upset when you have a cell, you're part of a cell team that can lift you up in prayer? Go to the Father, release it to the Lord, and then text the cell group, text the pastor, text your friend. That is a prayer warrior that prays for you. Don't just call on the phone to gossip, because we don't want none of that. We kick it out the door in the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord, in that department too, because we're good at that sometimes. We just like, oh, guess what happened? Guess what happened? Guess what happened? And then while we're telling the story to Susie, we're more upset. And then we call somebody else, and we're more upset. And it just keeps rising and rising. Shut it down. Shut it down. Call somebody for prayer and just put it at the feet of Jesus. Amen? Amen. So get a prayer partner. Let's prioritize prayer in our daily lives. We have to make it a priority. We really do. Jesus prioritized prayer. Here again, he's a prime example. He prioritized it. Let's go to Mark 1:35. I'm going to have you on your Bibles all day today. Come on. Okay, let me go to Mark 1:35. That helps you find the books, you know? Take your time. Take your time. Don't worry about it. I remember when I was a baby believer, I was taking my Bible to the church. And some of you might have heard this story before. I was taking my Bible to the church. And the pastor would say, you know, Mark 1:35. And he would preach on the whole thing, and I'm still trying to find Mark. Right? Because nobody taught me how to use the Bible or anything. I'm like, Mark, Mark, Mark. Oh, I got it. And he's like, down to the next scripture. And then I look around, and people are just like, she's still looking for the scripture? And you guys, I'm telling you what, I was ashamed. And I was like, you know what? I'm not bringing my Bible. They put it up on the board anyway. I just read from the board. So for months, I did that. And then the pastor was a large church. And then the pastor said, we need people in the children department. Well, my oldest son, he's 32 now. He was 8 years old at the time, seven or eight. And he said, we need people in the children department. And I'm thinking, well, I should volunteer. I mean, I do have a child, right, in the children's department. Maybe I should. He's like, all you have to do is just tell them to settle down, you know. And I was like, okay, I could do that. So I showed up for my assignment. You know, Miss Elizabeth shows up for her assignment. I'm like, oh, this is good. Settle down, kids, settle down. Listen to pastor, listen to pastor. So, you know, I was like, I was doing good. It's like, this is easy. I could do this. And then the pastor says, oh, gosh, I thought my face was going to be on the floor. He says, John something, you know, he pulled out his scripture. And if you can't find it, Miss Elizabeth in the back, she would be glad to help you find it. And I was like, oh, no, I've been found out. Help me, Holy Spirit. You know, I was new in the faith. Oh, gosh. And then I was like, nobody. I'm like, nobody lift your hand. Nobody lift your hand. Nobody lift your hand. And then this little boy, 6, 7-year-old, lifts his hand up. And I'm like, act like I don't see him. I don't see him. I don't see him. And then the pastor goes, Miss Elizabeth, this little boy right here needs your help. And I was like, oh, Lord have mercy. So I'm going to it. And I said, well, let me see your Bible. So he gives me his Bible. And wouldn't you know, Holy Spirit, like he gave it to me, like to the front where all the books are at and the page numbers are at. And I was like, hallelujah. Because I was like, oh, he wants the book of John. See, like you go to the front. And then you go to John. There's John in the New Testament. I didn't even know the old from the new, you guys. But it said on there, Old Testament, New Testament. It's like, it's in the New Testament. And then you go to John, and it's on page 349. And then you go look, and I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. And so he's like, oh, thank you, Miss Elizabeth. I was like, yes, God, yes, God. You know, and that's how, and though, so from that point, I'm like, I'm bringing my Bible. I don't care how long it takes me to find the book of John or Mark. I knew Genesis and Revelations. We should all should know that, right? From the beginning. But I tell you what, from that moment, I was like, mm-mm. I will not get caught like that anymore. I'm going to bring my Bible to the service, and then I'm going to, I don't care how long it takes me to look for the book of John or Mark or whatever, I'm going to do it. So if you don't bring your Bible to church because you don't know where the books are, just do what I did. Just do what I did. Humble yourself and learn them. Amen? Amen. That is for somebody. Thank you, Lord. I'm like airing out all my dirty laundry for all you guys to help you out. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Jesus. So Mark 1:35. There we are. 1:35. And it says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and he prayed. Now get this. It says, risen a long while before daylight. So daylight, you know, it comes, you know, depends what season we're in here in Indiana, but that must have been like three, between the fourth hour watch, between 3 to 6 in the morning. Who all gets up at 3 in the morning to pray? Hey, we got one. Kudos for Sister Beth. I mean, I'm up at 5 in the morning to go to work, which that means I would have to get up at 3 in the morning if I want to spend some time with the Father before. And God's working on that with me. Oh, we got to go to bed early, whatever it takes, right? And sometimes he wakes me up at certain times, 3:33. 3:33. I'm like, that means you wake up, Elizabeth, and pray. And sometimes, I'm going to be honest, I'm tired from work. I roll. I'm like, oh, God, thank you, Jesus. And you know what? I don't sleep. Because the Spirit of God's like, I'm telling you to get up to pray. Or if you want to lay in bed, that's fine, but pray. Pray. Help me, Jesus. That when the Holy Spirit, have you ever been like waking up in the middle of the night and you like bright-eyed and bushy-tail? That's the Spirit of God saying, pray. And then you can go back to bed. Those of you that, you know, are retired, you can go back to bed. It's nice. I will get there someday. But in the meantime, I need to get up and pray. I need to do better. I know I do. Who is this word for too? I know I do. I know I do. He wants to like give us like Matthew. It's 3:33. Isaiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things you do not know. The Holy Spirit is depositing messages, visions, things for you to grow, but to mature in the Spirit. Sometimes he downloads golden nuggets from heaven, but you're sleeping. You decided to go back to bed. And God is calling you like, come on, Elizabeth, get it right this time. But we're like the Israelites. I think I'm going to go run more, run around the mountain here. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to hear from you, Holy Spirit. And yes, you make it extra 15 minutes of sleep, but come on, how sweet can it be when you say, you know what, I'm not going to sleep, I won't get up, and I'm going to pray, I'm going to hear from you, Lord, what you have to say to me this morning. It'd be powerful. Amen? So help us, Lord, to come up in prayer. If Jesus, the Son of God, prioritized his need for prayer, how much more should we? He was the Son of God, and he prioritized it. He moved away from the crowd. We are so busy. We are so busy. Busy, busy, busy. And God's like, I'm calling you to pray. I'm calling you to seek my face like never before. I'm calling you to jump on my lap and say, Abba, Father. Speak, Lord. Here I am. Not to bring this whole list of requests and like, I need this, I need this, and I need a new roof, Father. And sometimes we go into the secret place, those of us that haven't, bring our little request, our little list, and we go down the list. I need this, I need that, and Lord, you know this, and this, and that, and we're not, thank you, Father, amen, and we get up. And God's like, I haven't said anything to you yet. You haven't spent enough time with me to speak, that I can speak to you. God is calling us to intimacy with him in prayer. Amen. I don't know about you, but I love spending time with Abba Father. I love Saturday mornings, just soak in his presence, to hear his still, small voice. To not have an agenda, to come before the Father and say, Father, you are good, just like the kids sang. You are faithful. What do you have for me? What would you say to me this morning, Abba? And do that and spend time with him. And we even sang about pouring out the oil on his feet, the sweet fragrance of a child that wants to spend time with his father. Oh, he is desperately needing that from us, church. So let's seek his face. Some people say, seek his face, not his hands. Well, we want all of it. Right? We want provision. We want the blessings. But we also want to seek Abba Father. I want all of it. I don't want to just, people say, oh, no, don't pray. You know, seek his hands. Just seek his hands. Seek his face. We want to seek his face and his hands because blessings comes from that. It's our portion. It's our portion as sons and daughters of the Most High God. It's our portion. Amen? It is our portion. Hallelujah. So let us seek the Lord. Let us seek his face at the early wee hours of the time. And if you, I don't think he really cares when you come. Just go to the Abba Father and let him love on you and let him minister to you. And then you minister to God. It is a powerful time and place. Amen. And we need to do more of that. We really do. He woke up way before daylight. Amen. So he was at fourth hour watch prayer. And you know that as the stories are told, he draws away from the cloud in the middle of the day too. And at night. So they really, whatever time you have for the Lord, make it a priority. Pencil him in. Just like you pencil your hair appointment. I mean, come on. I sit under that hairdresser for 2 hours. But yet I don't have time to be in the presence of God. Come on. I don't know. I'm speaking to somebody here. I can sit in front of the television. But I don't watch TV. The Lord dealt with me many years ago, 13 years ago. He's like, no, you're not watching that. And I obeyed. So I don't even know what's going on TV right now. And I'm not trying to say you shouldn't watch TV. I'm not saying that whatsoever. But some of you, maybe on Facebook, you sit in front of the TV for 2 hours, 4 hours, hey, all the reruns, and you haven't prayed. You haven't spent time with the Father. So if we have time for that, I can guarantee we have time to spend with the Father. Make it a priority. Pencil it in. We pencil in our workouts. I got to get my work. I got to lose this extra weight. We prioritize those things. So let's prioritize Abba Father. Let's prioritize the time with him. It'll be 15 minutes, then 20 minutes, and then you keep moving up because it's so good and so sweet to be in his presence that 15 minutes ain't going to cut it. And then you go in there for 30 minutes. And then you're in there an hour. And then you come out of your closet because an hour, 2 hours getting comfortable in your hiney. So you come out of your closet and then now you have your whole room so you can dance and worship. Come on. And then 2 hours and then 3 hours. And now it's like, oh, it's been so long. My knees hurt. So I'm going to lay in my bed so I can stay there all morning. Can you imagine a morning with the Father? You come up refreshed, encouraged, empowered. Amen. Oh, Holy Spirit. Help us on this one. James 5:16. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. Hold on a second. Here we go. Okay, so back to communion with God, his Father, and he made it his first priority. We too need to make it first priority. Amen? Amen. So I was trying to ask the Holy Spirit, what story in the Bible do I want to bring to the church this morning? There's so many stories, like how God answered prayer. So many. And I said, okay, so which one should I bring? And it happens to be the book of Daniel. So we're going to Daniel. Let's take a look at Daniel. You all know the story of Daniel, right? Everybody in here? Maybe some of you? We'll just go over it because it's really powerful. So let's take a look at the book of Daniel. We're going to go to Daniel 6:6. So let's go there to Daniel 6:6. And we're going to talk a little bit about Daniel. Now, Daniel was a man of prayer. We all know that he was a man of prayer. He had some gifting in interpreting dreams and visions. And he was highly favored, amen? He was highly favored. He was one of the three high officers in the kingdom, and he was a highly favored. So let's go to the book of Daniel 6:6, and we're going to read a little bit. I was trying to give you maybe like a background, but I think I'm going to chop it up. So let's just read. So just close with me as I read this story and just read with me. Now I'm going to Daniel 6. I'm starting at 3. Then this Daniel distinguished himself about the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to settle him over. So the king Darius singing, okay, Daniel, he's favored. You know, he can interpret dreams. I'm going to put him over all of them. So the other governors, you know, how many of you know there's jealousy and contention, and then, you know, everything just goes down the hill. Amen. So King Darius was going to put him over all this whole realm, and so the governors wouldn't have it. So the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel, concerning the kingdom. So they wanted to find something to get him, right? Daniel, but they couldn't find no charge or fault because he was faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then this man said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So they couldn't find anything against Daniel because he was faithful. He had an excellent spirit in him. Oh, Lord, let us have an excellent spirit in us. Amen. So now they're trying to find a way to come against him concerning the law of his God. So these governors and, I hope I'm saying this word right, satraps. Is that right? Satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and the satraps, the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make firm a decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Well, these governors knew that Daniel was a man of prayer, that he prayed morning, noon, and night. They knew they would get him this way. So now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Now, David knew this. Now, when David knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his window open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God and was his custom since early days. He knew that he was going to be in trouble. Yet, he chose to do it. He chose to honor his God. Amen. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of Medes and Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, who is one of your captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, he was greatly displeased with himself, because the king favored Daniel, and he didn't want to do that. So he was trying to find a way out, escape for Daniel, right? And set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no decree or statute which the king established may be changed. So they're telling the king, this cannot be changed. You cannot deliver him. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, will deliver you. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet of his lords, and the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now the king went to the palace and spent the night fasting, and no magicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went to the haste of the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. Then king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angels and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up and out of the den. So Daniel was taken up and out of the den, and no injury whatsoever was found on him, because he believed in his God. Come on. And the king gave to the command, and they brought those men who had caused Daniel, and they cast them into the den. So now these people that were accusing Daniel were brought to the den. Now get this, along with their wives and their children, and they were all thrown into the lions, overpowered by them, and broke all of their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Before they even reached the bottom, gunners, gone. They came against the men of God. Then King Darius wrote, this is really good, I love this part. Then King Darius wrote, to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwelt in the earth, in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of the kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of lions? What a powerful story. A powerful story of Daniel. He literally risked his life to pray. I don't know about you, but I don't know I'm risking my life to pray. It was that important to him. He knew full well that he would end up in the lion's den, and that God could save him. He knew his God could deliver him, because he delivered his friends, right? I'll see if I can say these names. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were friends of Daniel. And the Lord came through for them. So Daniel's like, that's my God too. He's going to deliver me. And I'm here standing, friends, that God will deliver you as well. I don't know what you're going on through today, what the issues are for today for you, but God is a deliverer. Oh, he will do that for you as well. We are his chosen generation, right? We are his people. He did it for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He did it for Daniel. He did it for David. He did it for Ruth. He did it for Esther. He did it for Abraham and Sarah. He did it for Hannah. He did it for all of them. He will do it for you too. Amen. There's nothing more so difficult for God that he can't do. Amen. When we humble ourselves and pray, God can do the impossible. Amen. So just like his friends were delivered, so was Daniel. Even if God didn't spare his life, he wasn't going to stop praying. Even like, you know, Esther, she said, if I perish, I perish. What if we were told that if we went into our prayer closet that we could get arrested? How bold would we be to pray when the ball is on our court? We're not even there. We have the freedom in this country, praise the Lord, to pray. What if you were told you can't wear the cross around your neck? We're not in those times, but they're coming. I'm here to tell you they're coming. Father, I just prayed a spirit of boldness of this church and over everyone watching, that we would be so bold and courageous like Daniel, that we would step up to the plate and say, even if he doesn't spare my life, I still will do it. I will honor him. I will call on his name. My God and my deliverer, my strong tower, my refuge and my strength. One thing that we do have as individuals, as sons and daughters, we have 24 hours a day. Everybody has 24 hours a day. No 1 second less, no 1 second more. 24 hours. What you do with those 24 hours can be very crucial in this nowadays. What are you going to use your time for? I know some of you work like myself, 8 hours, maybe 12. Sometimes I work 12 hours. So then you can just prioritize. Guess what? I'm working 12 hours a day, but I'm praying from driving from home to work and back. Some of you have jobs like myself. I'm like a robot in my job. So I'm like, kanda shalaba sandalaba kanda. You get praying. Praying as I build my trucks. You can do that too, depending on your job situation. Make prayer a priority in your life. Amen. Because we make sacrifices for a lot of things. Giving up the time. We give up money, energy, working out, vacationing, new toys. We all love the good things, and they're good. And God is pleased when we enjoy ourselves too. But in priority, amen, in priority with the things of God. Hey, the two-hour movie, man, you go to the movie theater, you sit there for 2 hours, like, that was fast. But then you sit in prayer for 5 minutes praying in tongues, and you're like, that's a long time to pray in tongues, Elizabeth, 5 minutes. How about 10 minutes? How about 20 minutes? How about if I told you guys, we're going to pray an hour in tongues? Who's up for it? Show of hands. Let me see. Oh, we need more work in this department. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. One time I was praying in tongues most of the day at work. I was going through a situation. So when we go through situations, we pray even harder, don't we? We're like, oh, God, deliver me from that. And the people at my job, they think, some of you are watching, they think like I'm on the phone all day, but I'm praying in tongues. Like I'm my little AirPod and I'm praying in tongues. And I'm rebuking the devil and I'm casting out demons sometimes when I'm talking to people. I minister sometimes on my job because I'm allowed to. I'm allowed to have an earbud, so I'm not going against the company policies. We're allowed to have one earbud. We can listen to all the music we want. You can do what you want. As long as you do your job, and I'm like in quality, so all them trucks I'm touching and anointing, get those trucks, they're anointed. And so we praying in tongues. And so this happened to me. I'm praying in tongues all day, and I was just going and going and going. I'm walking out of work, and I'm like, and then all of a sudden, it like kicked into like super speed. And I couldn't stop it. Like, I mean, I was just going and going and going. And I get in my car, and it's like, What was that? I called Pastor Harley right away. Pastor Harley, I was just going. I almost felt like them guys at 200. Who wants 200, 200, 200, 200? Like, you know, what do they call those people? The auctioneers. Who can pray for 30 minutes, 30 minutes, 30 minutes? Ah, I hear 30 minutes on the back. 45 minutes in tongues. Who wants 45 minutes? Oh, here, the lady in the front. Sold for 45 minutes. And I can feel like that because I was just going, and like, wow, Holy Ghost, kicking it in gear, empowering in strength. Amen? You get empowered when you're playing the Holy Ghost. Okay, hallelujah. We're almost there. We're going to wrap it up here real soon. We're going to wrap it up. So for Daniel, it was whatever it takes. Let it be for us too, Lord. Let us come up higher in this area of prayer. It is so important. James 5:16, it says, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And some people might look at the scripture and go, the righteous man, I am not righteous. Well, let me tell you, you are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Amen. So when you say, Abba, Father, okay, I'm gonna need some help. Okay, come on over here. What's your name? Zach. Okay, I'm going to ask Zach to help me. So when I come up to, okay, and Timmy, come on up here, Timmy. I'm going to use you too. So Timmy is God here, God the Father, right? And then also, yeah, so turn like that, God the Father. Oh, you got the voice of the Lord. Okay, so stand on the side there because I'm going to give a little demonstration for those of you. So without Jesus, I'm nothing but filthy rags. Amen. So he's going to be Jesus today and God the Father, okay? So I'm like, oh, I'm nothing but filthy rags. And then I said, Abba, Father. And you see, you don't see my filthy rags because Jesus intercedes. And now he sees his son. So my filthy rags ain't nothing. I'm righteous because of his son, Jesus, that died for me. So when I come before the Father, he sees his son. And the Father says, son, what can I do for you? He intercedes for me. And he's tall too. It's a perfect interceding here. You get the picture? Okay, thank you guys. Way to go. Good job. Do you see how the Father sees you because of Jesus? He doesn't see your mistakes. He doesn't see your shortcomings. He sees Jesus, his very own son. He sees the blood that was shed at Calvary. And said, I died for that. I died for that. And what would you like, my daughter? Right, according to his word. We can't just like, oh, I want a Corvette and make it be yellow. No, we got to pray according to his word, right? His word. We got to pray the word of the Lord. We can't just be wishing washing and calling all things out that are not according to his word and not coming in alignment to his word. So we got to make sure we pray the word. Your word says that my vats will run over if I sow. See? So if I'm sowing, then guess what? Provision is coming. Okay, one last area here and we're done. Are we okay, Pastor Sarah? Are we good in timing? We'll speed it up a little. Okay, corporate prayer. This is really important. I want to talk about corporate prayer. The importance of corporate prayer. We have corporate prayer here on Sunday mornings at 9:30. Oh, 9. Okay, 9. Sorry. Thank you for correction. At 9 o'clock. I want to move it up for some reason. Okay, 9 o'clock. Just see the need of corporate prayer. And I'm just doing this not to shame you, just so that you can see the need. How many of you were here for corporate prayer this morning? Raise your hands. Look around, folks. Look around. I don't even have to say nothing about that, right? Lord, you are calling us higher in corporate prayer. Matthew 18:20 says, for where two or three are gathered in my name, I am with them. There is power in corporate prayer. Power in corporate prayer. In the book of Acts, we see in the early church gathering regularly for the purpose of prayer. They did in the upper room. Amen? And at times, they gathered daily. They gathered daily. We're asking you to come on Sunday mornings for 30 minutes. Come on, guys. Come on. Oh, it's so early. Well, go to bed earlier. 30 minutes earlier. I don't know. Ask the Lord. Amen. Holy Spirit, help this person to go to bed early. Right? At times, they gathered daily as they faithfully prayed. God came among them and worked mighty miracles in response to their faithfulness. If we all pray together, corporate prayer in unity, can you imagine the signs, the wonders, the miracles that could happen here at MFH? I'm not even talking about the other churches. Some of them may not even have prayer time. But we're just talking us here, the remnant church, the chosen generation here. Okay, corporate prayer was foundational and a core value back in the early church. Let's bring it back. Let's say, yes, Lord, have your way. Amen. Corporate prayer is essential. It unifies the body of Christ. We come together, as we talked earlier, prayer, it, communing and conversing with God the Father. As we converse with God and yield our hearts to Him, He brings our will into perfect alignment with His. As we pray together in one accord, we are unified. Corporate prayer edifies and encourages the group. And then you may say, Elizabeth, I'm new. I don't know how to pray. I don't know the scriptures. You don't have to. Come. Just come and take a seat and let the person that leads the prayer pray. And you just come in agreement. It makes a difference. As we gather together to pray and seek the heart of God individually, hearts are encouraged. Maybe you come in and you're so discouraged, like, I'm going to prayer anyway. That is the best decision you ever made. Because when you walk in through those doors, God is going to lift you up and encourage you. The Holy Spirit Himself is going to speak to your heart and encourage you. Life is hard. And yes, we have many difficulties in our lives day to day. But when you enter the doors and you come in corporate prayer, Holy Spirit will speak to you. The person that's leading prayer, he may get a word of knowledge, maybe a prophetic word for you. You will be encouraged. You will be uplifted. You will be comforted, strengthened by the Almighty God. And you came to prayer and you got all this in return. Come on. Let the Holy Spirit speak to your hearts this morning. Holy Spirit will bring you reassurance and comfort through the prayer of others. The word of knowledge may come. A prophetic word, maybe through Pastor Sarah or myself or Rivka or someone else in here, Pastor Harley. Maybe you'll get a vision while you're praying. Huh? How cool will that be? That the Holy Spirit will download a vision for you about something maybe you need an answer for. Or maybe it's for somebody else in the room. I know many times I'm up here praying, and when the Spirit of God's praying, I don't know half the times what I'm saying because it's the Spirit of God praying through me, amen? And then I get somebody says, Elizabeth, that was for me. I'm going through this and this and that. That's exactly what you prayed. I'm like, did I pray that? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Corporate prayer disciples believers in prayer. It's a discipling thing. We're a church making disciples, right? We can disciple people in prayer. I remember back in the days when I was a baby believer, I'm like, I don't know how to pray. I'm not going to the prayer. I know where you're at, some of you. I'm not going to that prayer meeting because I don't even know how to pray. What if they asked me to pray out loud? It was like almost like that, the scripture thing. What am I going to say? I don't know how to pray. I don't know the scriptures. Well, don't worry because we're not going to ask you. This is like if you want to pray, you'll be asked to pray. So you don't have to worry about that. So if you have that fear, go out the door in Jesus' name. Then when you come in, you take a seat and you just be with us in prayer, in corporate prayer. Amen. Back when I was a baby believer, I didn't know how to pray. So I didn't join any of the prayer movement at our church. I didn't go to any of the prayer because I just didn't know how to pray. But I joined this group of mature women. They were from St. Louis. They had a prayer call every morning at 5:30. And it was just right about the time I'm heading into work. I'm like, this is perfect. I don't have to say a word. They don't even know who I am. They don't even have to see me. I would call in that call of prayer, and these mighty women of God can pray the paint off the walls. And I was in that prayer Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, just listening, praying with them in agreement. Oh, they could pray. I was like, come on, God. I want to pray like that someday. I want to intercede for people. I want to memorize the scriptures. Because when we pray, really, we pray the word of God that is sharper than a two-edged sword that will divide bone and marrow. It's powerful to pray in the word of God. It's powerful. Amen. So corporate prayer can facilitate corporate repentance as well. We can repent together as a group, as a church. Ezra, Nehemiah, and Daniel, they're all model repentance as part of corporate prayer. Holy Spirit can bring an awakening in our hearts to repent. We all fall short from the glory of God. We all do. But God is so good. He's so merciful. He's so gracious and forgiving and loving towards us, toward his people. Corporate prayer creates a sense of expecting. Come to prayer meeting expecting. Expecting to hear from the Holy Spirit. Come expecting when you come to prayer. So I'm going to wrap it up with that. To have an expectant heart. To say yes to the Lord. To say yes to the clarion call. To step it up a notch in prayer. We need it. Like I said earlier, the work is getting darker. Let the church arise. Let the church be bright, the bride of Christ, full in power and manifested presence in this room, right? That we can do miracles, signs, and wonder because we have been with the Father, that our faces will radiate and shine and say, there's something about this young man that's different from the others. He will go to school or the grocery store, wherever. I don't think you go to public school. No, you're homeschooled. So when he goes to Kroger's or wherever he goes, they will say, oh, there's something about this young man. There's a smile on his face. Let us be that church that's full of power through the Holy Spirit. Amen. That miracles, signs, and wonders will just be a thing of a daily thing for us. That's the church. That's the remnant church we need to be. So let us pray. If you wouldn't you stand up and just lift your hands to the heavens, because we're just going to be doing all this together here. Thank you, God. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for this clarion call, this call to prayer, Father God. I just thank you, Lord, that you are stirring a hunger in us, Lord, to come together and individually to pray, to seek your face. We thank you, Lord, for humbling hearts. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that we will answer the call to prayer, that we will come up higher as individuals and as the church, your church, Father God. We give you thanks, we give you praise, and we give you honor. And from today forward, Lord, you say jump and we say ha, hi. We thank you, Abba Father, for all that you are doing and all that you will do through our prayer meetings. In the mighty name of Jesus, I seal this prayer with the blood of the Lamb. And everybody says, amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.